Man, I've enjoyed the preaching thus far. I was going to try to joke with Brother Terrence real quick there when he ran back there in the middle of Brother Brett's sermon. I was, well, are you under conviction, brother? But he immediately ran back. I don't think he wanted me to speak to him just yet. So, but enjoyed both of those sermons there. And if you have your Bibles tonight, would you please turn with me to the book of Ezra, chapter number 3. And a few years ago, as I was studying through the book of Ezra, really had it impressed upon my heart the thought that the book of Ezra is about revivals. And as we were preparing to preach for tonight, I was actually looking over in Galatians chapter number 1 there, about the possible sermon there, but I just kept thinking about the revival that we'd had this past week here, and the book of Ezra being about revival, and just felt that this is the direction that the Lord would have us to come tonight. So in Ezra chapter number 3, if you please stand in the honor of reading Father's Holy Word, we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. So Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. As the Lord being our helper tonight, we'd like to bring a sermon on this thought. Good revival, now what? Good revival, now what? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, and we pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time, Lord. Help me, Father, to present the sermon the way that you'd have me to your people. And I pray, Father, that you'd help each and every one of us, especially me, be able to take away as much as possible from the sermon here, Lord. Help us, Father, because we need you. That plain and simple, cut and dry, we need you. You don't need us, but we need you. We need you for everything, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to take what we've learned from the revival this week, what we've learned from the two previous sermons here tonight, Lord, and go forward with them, Lord, in the strength and in the power that you provided for us, Lord, that we won't become lunch for a lion, that we'll be able to be an encouragement to one another in love. Help us, Father, Lord, to be able to do exactly what you'd have us to do. We thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So good revival, now what? We had a pretty good revival. I only got to come to the one night there, but enjoyed it. Always enjoy getting to hear Brother Craig Edwards get up here and preach. And I like how he gets into God's Word there, and he's going to tell us exactly what's there, as Pastor was testifying earlier, that you know, he'll show us exactly what's there, and then he goes deeper so that we could see what's actually there. And I really enjoy that about him there. And one of the things that I like about Ezra here, this scribe, this priest, is that he prepared his heart to study the Word of God, to know the Word of God, so that once he finally got through Jerusalem there, he was going to be able to share the Word of God with the people, to be able to show them exactly how the law applies to their lives, and to guide the people so that they will have a closer walk with the Lord God Almighty. Now, while he's not here in the first six chapters of the book of Ezra, he comes along in the seventh chapter. This is dealing with the first group of exiles that is returning to the land here. We see that they are establishing a very much needed revival among the people. They've already gone and they built the altar there. And now they have come along and they've gotten together and they have laid the foundation for the temple, for the second temple here. And that's a very important thing that we start building on the proper foundation. And as a matter of fact, our very first point here tonight is the word preparation. If you look with me there in verse number 8, toward the very bottom of the verse there, it says from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. They were wanting to set up to move forward for God's work. They were going to have to be prepared, though, however, to do it. If you notice the beginning of the verse there, it says in the second year that they had arrived, they were going to do this. Now, when you study it out, you find out that this second year actually is the official 70th year of the exile being over with. Okay? And they've gone here, they arrived the first year, but they didn't have the materials, Brother Terrence, in order to be able to get the work done. They were having to import everything into the land so that they can do this very necessary work. But what did they do? They set about getting the materials brought into them. And once Miss Stephanie that the materials had finally arrived, they got to work on it. And the Bible tells us over there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if we're going to be the proper workmen, that we're not going to be ashamed, that we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, we have got to prepare our hearts to be able to get into God's word so that He can get His word into our hearts. So that we can go forward, so that we can take the revival that we've had, we can take the sermons that we've been hearing and apply them to our hearts and to our lives and to our spiritual walks. So that we can go and minister however it is that the Lord has designated for each one of us. These people have gone about doing exactly that. And while they are sitting here in verse number 8 as more of a quality control for the project, may I say that we also need to be going about the quality control in our lives. Amen. Because it would be very easy for us just to sit back and become lunch for a lion. To become spiritually weak and feeble and wimpy instead of getting into God's Word. And I know this for a fact because I've done it. You don't want to repeat my mistakes. J. Vernon McGee had this to say here. He says, Ezra was unable to serve during the captivity because there was no temple. He did, however, give his time to study of the Word of God. Are we going to be doing it? Are we basically going to be preparing ourselves for what is to come? Or are we just going to sit back and let it happen to us? That's not preparation. That's being lunch. Amen. But not only is there the preparation, but may I say there's also something called purpose. We got to have that purpose. There are a lot of purposes out there. Do we have the right one? Verse number 9 says, then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, and the sons of Judah together to set forward the workmen. My soul. They're going out there with a specific purpose in mind. We are going to get these people moving in the right direction. Talked about sheep earlier there. The shepherd has to be able to lead the sheep. He doesn't drive sheep, you drive cattle. You're driving cattle to the slaughter. You're leading the sheep over there to the shearing. Okay? What's your purpose? Are you driving or are you leading? How are we going about doing it? Ezra here tells us that Jeshua, the high priest, he was going to be leading the people. That they were setting forward the workmen so that they can get the house of the Lord built. One author I read said this, we can conclude that this task was accomplished in order, in an orderly fashion. Good organization and administration were the key to efficient work. You know what? We don't have a clue as to how long it took them once they laid the first block down there for the foundation to when they finally had the whole thing done. That's not what's important. What's important is, are we prepared and are we going about with the right purpose in mind? Amen. Amen. If we don't see results now, God sees them. If we don't see results for 10 years, God sees them. we get to heaven, we're going to get to see him.
Yeah.
I wrote a blog this morning about the suicide conversations. About some of these different conversations that I've had over the past few months here in regards to suicide. And they have varied immensely. From people wanting just to see how they can go about talking to a relative about the suicide that has taken place in that relative's life. To 14-year-olds having tried to commit suicide because their boyfriend broke up with them. I mean, it's absolutely stunning as to what's going on here. And I've got no idea if I'm even making much of a dent, but God Almighty knows, and I'm thankful for that. Because if I relied on just me, I'd have thrown in the towel already, brother. I'd have to, because I see a whole lot more than what you all are seeing. And I'm discouraged by it. That's why I got to keep my eyes on Him. He's the one who will encourage us. But not only is there a purpose and preparation, but there's also praise that needs to be had here. Verse number 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. No matter how important you view your task, it is important that you do your task. These people were set up specifically to be praising God. As a matter of fact, they were following what David had prescribed before the first temple was even constructed. When David was first told, David, I know it's in your heart to do it, but you don't get to do it. Your son's going to get to do it. But I'll let you set it up for him so that he's got everything in place so that he can build the temple. And David, he got all the materials together so that they could build the temple. He got all the gold and the jewels and the silver and the brass together so that he can make all the instruments. And he set up the order of the priests and how they were going to go about worshiping. And here they are all these hundreds of years later, and they are still able to fulfill it, and they're able to praise the Lord God Almighty because they had what was needed. Amen. It may not have been the way they wanted, but it was the way God had provided. And we can praise Him for that. Why? Because there is potential to be found there. Verse number 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Why? Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They are praising. That praise there means boastful. In other words, they've got a testimony. They are shouting for joy. Then this praise means that it's a public acknowledgement as to what God has done for them. They are giving up thanks to God Almighty. And they are doing this in public. They are participating in the activity. They're not just being spectators. They're participators. And I got to thinking about there, it says, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And I forget which book I read it in, but it was talking about how so many churches back in the 20th century were built and they were just basements. And that they took tar paper and made roofs out of that there. And the people would have to go down the stairs to get into what basically is a basement. But that's what church was. And that many churches would take and they would build upon them there. And they'd get the first floor and the second floor. But it started in that basement. And I remember the church that I answered the call to preach, Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, there on the east side of Chicago. And I was told when I was young about how that church had started out. It was just a basement. And I couldn't understand what in the world. You build a church and it's just a basement? Praise God. They were getting down there. Spiritually, we need to get down on our knees. That church built up and they added a first floor to it. That church had went through several hundreds of members over the course of time. And right now, if you go over there now, it is not an English-speaking church. It is a Spanish-speaking church there. Why? Because the neighborhood is Hispanic now. You know what? It wasn't God building the church just so a bunch of white people could have church back there in the 80s. It was God building the church so that His people could come and have church there. And He knew that one day that there was going to be a Hispanic population there and that they were going to need to be able to have them a good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church. He already had that potential set up when he built just a basement there on a corner of 109th and Avenue L. But praise God, the potential was there. The people worked with the potential that was there. And God built because they did the work that He had them to do. Church, are we willing to take this revival that God has just sent our way and to work with it and to build upon it and to go forward in this power and the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty? Or are we just going to sit back and say, praise God, good enough. Lord's given us something to do. Let's go about doing it, amen. Why? Because there's a past. Verse number 12. But. It don't say but God. And we all love it when God butts in. But this is, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. May I say, the past is coming. There's a past. We can work with it, though. Now, maybe it's a good past. Maybe it's a past where we can take and rejoice in. I thank the Lord that He's used me these past few weeks to get to go and to preach His Word at the various churches there. And I revel in that. It has been a source of encouragement for me to be used. Especially because I know, you know what? There's going to be a time when the Lord says, all right, Dennis, I need someone else right now. You just sit back and rest up a little bit. And I'm going to be sitting there chomping at the bit. Well, God, use me, use me, use me. Why aren't you using me? You know what? I've got something there. Says, you know what? The Lord has used me. The Lord's going to use me again. Amen. Okay? But then there's also a path that ain't good, that we need to avoid. We need to get away from one of those lions that Brother Terrence is talking about there. John MacArthur wrote this about this verse here. He said the first temple had been destroyed 50 years earlier. The old men who would have been about 60 years or older knew that this second temple did not begin to match the splendor of Solomon's temple, nor did the presence of God reside within it. The nation was small and weak, the temple smaller and less beautiful by far. There were no riches as in David's and Solomon's days. The ark was gone, but most disappointing was the absence of God's Shekinah glory. My soul, church, that's a bad past. But just because something's true, Brother Brett, doesn't mean you gotta go talking about it either. As the song goes, the past is in the past. Let it stay back there in the past. The past is simply a rudder to be able to guide us. It is not an anchor to hold us fast in one particular place there. We know where it was. Let's keep on moving the opposite direction there. The enemy, though, is going to want to weaken our minds by reminding us, well, man, you had that revival and you didn't have to put out any folding chairs like usual. Tisk, tisk. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Wasn't there a time when you had to have everybody sitting up here because there were no seats down there? The enemy's going to want to remind us of that. The enemy's going to want to remind us of anything and everything that has ever gone wrong in our life. The enemy's going to be wanting to remind us of all of our sins. The enemy's going to be wanting to remind us of all those temptations that we fall for. But they're in the past. Leave them back there. They've got nothing new to say. These old men here, they were saying, man, I sure do miss those glory days. I'm longing for those glory days. They're past. They're over and done with. Look forward to the glory that God has got before us, church. Move forward in the power and the strength of His might instead of in the weakness that wants to crush us there. The past is not the place that we need. But may I say also, there's the purging. If you notice, in something that is... it troubled me for the longest time with this verse here, is those last six words. It says, and many shouted aloud for joy. Now, it would seem to reason to me, at least Brother Terrence, that when the man sat down and started dividing up the verses, because they're not God-inspired, they're something that man put in here, that he would have took those six words and started off verse 13 with them. But that's part of the purging. Don't dwell there in the past. Let's get moving forward And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Don't let the enemy see you crying. Don't let the enemy see you sitting there pouting, "Oh, woe is me." Shout! And if your brothers have fallen down, and your brothers are in need, come alongside of them. Praise God. Let me help you, brother. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. The encouragement of love that Brother Brett was talking about there. Don't dwell there. Move forward for God. Help one another up. Lift one another up so that we can follow what the Lord have us to do.
Amen.
Go with that purging there. Get away from this stuff that's no good. Don't let the enemy be able to get the upper hand on you. Brother Terrence is talking about the flocks there and how they gather together. You're in a flock. Get the weak ones to the center so the strong ones are out there on the outside forming the barrier to protect. Be sober, be vigilant, he talked about there. That's those guards who are posted there at the gates, the sentries there. And it's their job to protect all those who are inside asleep. Who are inside resting. Who are inside cleaning their weapons. Who are inside training. Those sentries are the ones who are being sober, who are being vigilant. Church, let's be sober, let's be vigilant. Let's keep the enemy out and let everybody else back here be able to do their job. You say, "I just don't understand. What are you talking about there?" Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the pastor right there. He's one man. Form that circle around him. Remember when they stoned Paul and they drug him out of the city there thinking he was dead? The disciples came and they formed a circle around him. You ain't getting back to him again. You're going to have to go through us before you get to Paul. Surround this man here with prayer. Surround this man with encouragement. Do whatever you can. Send him a note. Send him a gift card. Praise God, I think he'll like that. Purge out what the enemy's trying to get in. The enemy is trying to get in discouragement. That's revival we had here. It was not to discourage us. It was to uplift us. It was to encourage us. It was to get us moving forward. To strengthen us in the power of God. But if we're going to let the discouragement and the bitterness and everything else get into us, he'll destroy us and we'll become lunch for a lion. We had a good revival. Now what? Let's get moving for the Lord. My question for you tonight is this. We had a good revival this past week. Now what are each one of us as individuals going to do with it? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for another opportunity to stand here and bring your word tonight to your people. And I pray, Father, each and every one of us was able to take something away from this sermon here tonight and from all the sermons here tonight, Father. Help us, Lord, to follow after your holy will, God, because we need you. We can't do it by ourselves. That's all there is to it, Father. We need your encouragement, your strength just to get up, to have our resolve last beyond what's there at the altar, what we pray there, so that we can make it to the door, and so that we can make it to our car, so that we can make it to our house there, still with that same conviction of spirit that we're going to follow you, that we're going to take this revival, and we're going to go for you, Father. Help us, Lord, because we can't do it on our own. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you please stand, what page, brother?